Tim Beatty.
Here.
Eric Creighton.
Here.
Jamie Wright.
Here.
And Dan Drayton.
Here. Okay, Chief, were there any public comments received by mail or email?
Nope, just a single card that I'm passing around, it's the only thing I've got.
Okay.
All right, let's move down to minutes, board minutes. Any review or discussion? Anybody got anything?
Nope.
Okay, need a motion to approve the minutes of last month.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Nancy and Eric. Okay, roll call vote.
Yes, roll call.
Okay. Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Thank you. Financials. Has the Secretary Treasurer reviewed the banking reconciliation?
Yes, he has.
Thank you. And our guest, Kathy.
Hello.
QuickBook audit report, please.
I think I'm here to ask what you guys really are looking for.
Correct.
So maybe tell me what you're thinking. I've talked to Chief, and the way I understood it was something that I can't do, so I thought I'll just come here and find out what you're looking for.
So what can we do? So that would be the question I would ask, because we're a little confused on, like, you can't do banking accounts, right? Audit.
Right, we can.
So like?
We could do like everything. I just can't isolate one bank account.
Correct.
I can isolate sales, permit fees, the things, specific categories, but not a specific bank account.
Okay.
Easily.
But if we wanted to like pull a report for like equipment, or what we spent on equipment for audit individual accounts like that, we can do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Now I can print off a list of everything that happened in the checking account for a month. Dan, you get that report already. It doesn't show you if Creanne entered it this way and then I went in and changed it. Those kind of reports don't show changes, which is what I thought you guys were looking for, was if anything was this way on one day and this way the next day. But
we're just
detailed
trying to satisfy the auditors, because they request that, if you remember, that they thought that would be a good idea to us to be able to pull a random report of some sort. So we were a little confused of what kind of reports we were able to.
QuickBooks has got an internal, what QuickBooks calls an audit log. And it records all of the things that happened. And it'll say, Chief Dahlman logged in on the 12th at 10 o'clock. And then it'll say, Creanne entered this invoice. Creanne entered this invoice, this one, this one, this one. Kathy reconciled. So it tells you all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I just can't split it up by bank account or that sort of thing.
Okay.
But it does give you a whole long list of everything that somebody did.
So if we, like I said, like maintenance, we could pull that, just that one section of maintenance if we wanted to look at maintenance, or if we wanted to pull something, I don't know, you guys help me out.
Apparatus and vehicle
utilities
fuel
or something.
If you ever wanted to see the detail of every single thing that went into that category for a certain period of time,
right.
Yes, that's easy.
Okay.
That's what we're looking
okay.
for.
That's
and we want to try to make it easy, but just to be able to understand what random reports we can actually, because actually Dan or myself will ask for those, and we're just trying to figure out. It was a little confusing, that's all.
It was.
Yeah.
You guys get a report, the receipts and disbursements, the three-month rolling report. And it shows you everything by each different category for that 3 months. And we can change that to any length of time that you want. We could isolate it just to a few accounts if you wanted.
And what benefits, and why the auditors want us to pull random reports like that?
They want to make sure that the board is running the district and not the staff.
Checks and balances.
Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that you guys are looking at it, that we're not telling you we spent all this stuff on equipment and then turn around and change it and say, really, we just bought office supplies. They're wanting us to make sure that you're seeing exactly what's going on.
And it doesn't, I mean, I know it makes extra work for you and Dorothy, but is, so, what's the easiest reports to pull? Like, I'm not trying to get around, but like you said, is it like, you know, like I said, maintenance, or if it's something like that, or if it's like electric bills or utility, or is that something that's very difficult to just pull separate random reports on?
I think, Corinne, you even know how to do that. I shouldn't say that. Corinne, you know how to do that too.
I do.
So Corinne can pull those kind of reports for you.
Okay, and do you think that would satisfy the auditors on those kind of stuff?
If the auditor says, do you know that this happened, then yes. You know, and if Dan wanted to, every quarter, sit down with me and go through the audit log, and he can just kind of.
Randomly pick one,
and we can click into it and look at it.
Okay.
I think the first report that we talked about, the QuickBooks audit one, would be a good one. It doesn't have to be super long or anything, but I think, in my opinion, I think that's what they're looking for. Who's doing this with this account or this money, or over here, it's, make sure it went over here and not into here, somebody's pocket, kind of a thing.
And that's with the reconciliations. The other thing that you, the auditors think that you guys are looking at is vendors. I think the number one way of fraud is pretend vendors. So if you're looking at, is this really a real company? Are these really real people? Or did somebody make them up? And when you're looking at your 3-month rolling, you're seeing the vendor names.
Correct.
Yep. So the audit log with Dan, every once a quarter, we'll have a meeting, you and me.
Okay. We'll do what?
Okay. You'll buy.
Good job.
And then any report that you all ever want, a lot of the reports are pre-designed and they're fairly straightforward to print out.
Okay.
Chief is getting pretty good at getting around QuickBooks too.
Be around? Yeah, thanks, don't get in the bus.
So do the
Anytime.
Auditors mean we could pull it from any, from staff too, or is it, are they just wanting us from the accountant?
They want the board, oh no, if you're asking Creanne to print off a report, that's the board getting information.
So we don't have to bug you or Dorothy all the time. We could pull one from Graham and say, hey, we want to see this one this month, or, okay.
But weren't they trying to keep us out of it?
They really would prefer it came from us straight to you guys.
Because they don't, they're trying to keep staff out of it. Because we are the ones that might, you know, we're checking ours. So if you go to our contracted third-party service and ask for them to do it, staff is out. So if you find any discrepancies.
That's why I was asking, just to clarify that.
Yeah.
So that's what I was understanding, that it was from accounting, keep staff out of it.
We want to go through Kathy for these.
Or Dorothy.
Or Dorothy, yeah.
Or Dorothy.
Or Dorothy, yeah.
Now, of the board, how many of you have access to the QuickBooks?
I think all of us have access to it. None of us know how to get in there, though. We haven't.
I've never done it, but I think we have.
Maybe Dan, but.
I just get the reports that you send me through.
Maybe we need a lesson on how to get into QuickBooks.
I think we have you as report only, so you can't go in and change things.
Right,
yeah,
right.
We shouldn't.
It's read only, I think, yeah.
So what I need to do probably is sit down with at least one of you and see exactly what you can see. And then I can tell you what you can do.
And there should be login credentials, and I don't even know if any of us have that. So we just have permission to do it, but I don't.
Okay. What I can do is reset you up. Because you would have got an email from Intuit probably that said North Lincoln has invited you to have access to their account.
I don't think I've ever seen anything.
Okay.
Starts with the, it'll be your NLFR email address.
Correct.
And then it will, you'll have to do that authentication thing like I just did here, either something to go to your phone or your email. So once you log in, it still wants you to verify that thing.
Yes. Well, half of that doesn't work, because I know mine doesn't do that. I don't know.
So you can't send it to your phone. It'll ask you, text the code to your phone or send it to an email. Yours doesn't work.
No, it's on there, it's on my phone, but it never sends anything.
No, when you go to check in.
It will send you an email that says, here's your code to log in.
And there's an account on my authenticator app.
It's not gonna be on your authenticator app.
It'll be a regular text message.
It's a regular email or a text message to you that says, put this code in.
Every time you check in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, the authenticator.
Okay. I guess, like I said, I've never seen an email on it or even understood that.
My mouse is up here. Sit down, I know you're kinda fragile.
Oh, you definitely feel that way anymore. So this is what the audit log looks like. So Rob signed in, Crean signed out, Crean on Carson Oil, about 3 o'clock today went in and changed something. But the trick is, she might have just went in and looked at it. But QuickBooks thinks if you click in, you've changed it. And then online, you can click view, and here it's gonna tell you what she did. Doesn't tell you exactly, but she was in there doing something. We're picking on you, because you were the first one that did something on this screen. So probably you went in and added your attachment.
What I had done earlier was I put in the invoice and had already scanned the voucher and attached it. And then we got a second invoice today via email. So I added that to the voucher and went in and added in QuickBooks that invoice. And then I had to get rid of the old voucher attachment because it didn't have the new invoice on there. And then I put the new voucher attachment onto both of those, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Is this part of it?
But you're only paying it once.
Yeah, it's just that we had one invoice and then we got a second one, so I had to add that one.
You didn't have, you said you didn't have a mouse?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so that was Carson.
I don't have so many ports.
So then you can go to the Carson vendor, and this is the bill that she was working on. And so here she's coding it to 6812. The 387 is the amount. And I'm gonna say 99% of the invoices in QuickBooks have got the voucher attached to them.
Yeah.
And eventually they'll have chief signature on them too? Are we not doing that yet? He's just looking at them online?
No, we had to change our process because I used to scan them after he signed them.
But
now I have to scan them ahead of time, and so we have him sign the vendor balance summary,
right,
and I send that to you and keep an electronic copy.
So we got the voucher.
Mm-hmm.
We have the bill that goes with that voucher. And so you can see what she's doing. And had you known what was before, you would be able to see that too. But that's really what the audit log does. It doesn't give you a complete details, but it gives you the opportunity to say to Crean, what were you changing?
And that's why I think it's better that we go through Kathy. So if you have a question about what Crean did, you wouldn't ask Crean, what did you do? You'd have her pull up just what she did with the audit log, and she would be able to say, oh, she added this voucher to it, or she changed this, or she did that. Because really it's just a transparency, trying to make sure that we're being honest with what we do. I would much rather that go through Kathy or Dorothy.
So if we're able to do this, why do we need to request audit reports when we can go in and do our own logs?
I'm not sure if your access will let you go in the detail that I just did today.
Okay.
If you're a read-only access, I'm not sure how far you can drill down into the detail.
Okay.
And I think the other thing, and we've been to the audits before, and the auditors, they ding us because we don't have a lot of people going through it, right? We have a limited amount of staff. It's like this person opens, and then the same person does this, and this. They'd like to see more people involved so that we can check each other's work. And because every time we have, that audit comes out, it says, yeah, we know you have a limited amount of staff, and one person opens and one enters, and there's sometimes they're the same person, and they don't like that.
Okay.
But didn't they want just a couple people, like couple board members, to request this, or was that our decision? It's been a couple months, and I don't remember.
Well, the policy, it says that the secretary treasurer.
Yes.
Would request this and pick the.
Correct, yeah. And then we came up with, since it was new, that we would talk about it if we're having issues or something, so, yeah.
Well, it's probably better, because we're trying to do this to make the auditors understand that you really are looking at this. If you sent an email that said, we would like to see such and such, either from you or from you, and if we know that limited people are doing that to me, and then I'm gonna respond back in a written email, then you got a thread that it really did happen.
That makes sense.
It does.
So like I said, in our policy, it says for the secretary treasurer to ask for the board to review their monthly, but we'd have to change policy if you wanted to, would you, to have either the president or we just wanna stick to one person?
That's completely a board decision.
Yeah.
It's nice having one person, because maybe Nancy will ask Dan, and you'll ask Dan, and they'll do the same question.
Dan can communicate with me, or whoever lives sitting in the seat, to be able to, yeah, have that discussion, say, hey, what do you think? What do you think when you report it, or whatever? Because we, you know, every July, we try to see if anybody wants to change chairs, and it's interesting, so. But we'll work through it. It's just all new, and we appreciate you coming in and helping us try to understand it a little bit. I don't know if anybody else has any more questions, but I think if you could get us in there where we could see what we can look at, too, that would help, too.
That's more people.
Not saying how frequently we'd get in there, but just saying that we would, you know, at least keep an eye on it every once in a while, at least once a month, open it up and kind of see what's going on.
So it doesn't.
Because the auditors see that, right? They'll see that we're getting in there and.
They would not unless they looked.
Oh.
But we would tell them. That's why we want the paper trail. That's why in your board minutes, you're now saying, Dan, did you review all of this stuff? Because now we have a paper trail that it did happen.
Okay.
And a lot of it is paper trail if they ask. We have it.
That's if they ask.
So how come when you get in here, it says Brian Fitzsimmons, and it doesn't say?
Pretty smart.
What's going on here?
I said it's an account administrator, too, or something like that.
Yes, system.
There's a system administrator, which is automatic.
Oh.
That's into it, is system administrator.
Gotcha. I thought that was you at first.
Me, too.
And then just says Brian, because they want us to be able to have me or Dorothy be interchangeable. At our office, we can tell.
Or Brian, you need to.
Yeah, we don't let him know that.
He just turned 70, didn't he? Is he?
Yep.
Not until, no, he'll be 71 in May.
When's he gonna retire?
Can we please have that date?
He is now.
Brian's birthday?
Yeah.
May 9.
May 9th, okay.
71.
71.
He's gonna get a card.
Good.
Thank you so much. If anybody has any other questions of the board.
Thank you. Anytime you guys have questions, just let me know.
Okay.
You all have my email.
We do. All right, everybody good? Dan, do you have any further, or?
Nope, I'm good.
Sign that number.
So while I'm here, do the financial statements, are they giving you the information that you want? Are you getting all the reports you want?
Oh, yes.
And then some.
It's a lot.
Well, Dan gets a copy of every bank statement, every bank reconciliation, He also gets a check register and a complete list of the deposits and the transfers, plus the reports that you all get.
Plus the notifications from the state that say you've transferred X amount.
Right, anytime we make a transfer, you get a copy of that.
Muted. Now you muted everything.
Yeah, no, why did I log in twice here?
Because you were already logged in and then you.
Getting dumped.
I'm gonna hurt her.
We'll give you a second there, Chief.
I'm gonna leave, we're all done.
Anybody have any questions for me?
I don't think so.
Thank you, Kathy.
I'll be quiet then.
Very much appreciated.
Thank you, thank you. And I'll take a flower.
You take some cupcake.
We're just waiting on Chief to figure this out, so.
Maybe you break it, Chief.
No pressure.
Why is it not showing up the other one? If I hit click join, it's gonna put me in there as a second person. It's gonna put me in twice again.
Thanks, Chief.
So who are the three people?
It's Chief.
Oh, God, Chief is all three.
That's right.
All right, let's move down to monthly financial report.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, good seeing you.
Can I walk you out, I'm gonna leave for a while.
Any review or discussion on the monthly financial report?
So from my end of things, you can see on page one that we're doing very well on the interest thing. And then if you look towards page three, general fund resources, we're at 114% of what we anticipated we'd have. On page four, we're gonna talk about this later, but you look at staff overtime, we allocated out for going to California on the EMAC conflagration, and we have a resolution to fund that line as it's coming up. So total personnel services without that is 58%, and we're at 58% of the year, so we're spot on with that. The only thing excessive in here, bank charges are still kind of up there, and they're not going to go down, so I'm sure we'll see that line item that's on page six. Building maintenance repairs, this building's taken quite a bit. I think that was, a lot of that had to do with those locks that we had to replace. Those were kind of expensive that came up. I think they were several thousand dollars a piece, and we ended up having to replace a couple of those, which came out of that. But overall, buildings were still 59% at 58% of the year. The next one on there, page 10, medical supplies were up a little bit. Equipment testing, since we've got most of the testing done this year already, that's why that line item's at 71%. Page 11, at the bottom line there, so at 58% of the year, we're at 53% of our budget spent. I did another quick little math thing looking at it. So our projected ending fund balance this year, we had we did 4.4 last year. We're gonna be at least 5.6 million just as it sits now. As it sits now, that doesn't account for the next 5 months of income coming in that we're gonna get, either that be tax money or inspections and short-term rental, just all those other things. So I think we'll be well above that. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because we're gonna talk about the purchase of a ladder truck later on here and where that money's coming from. So that's important to note about that kind of stuff. If you talk to our accountant, she says we're very healthy. I asked her, do we have the money to send? She's like, oh yeah. So, as she says, some of the departments that they do accounting for don't have half the money that we have.
Kathy, you're still welcome to sit here, right?
Oh, I'm gonna leave. I just thought I'd listen to what Chief had to say.
But like I said, she says that we're financially, we're on pretty solid footing.
I think so.
So I guess because Jamie told you to make sure you had a savings account.
There's a couple of people here that told me to get my savings account in order. Why do we have to go to the voters every time we need to buy something?
Correct.
But then we decide we're gonna buy a $2 million ladder truck and well, just ruin my savings account.
Unexpectedly.
Yeah. Any other questions on any of those line items I can? Nothing? Okay.
All right, I'm looking for a motion to approve the monthly financial report.
So moved.
How about a second?
Second.
The roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Creighton.
Yes. I'll do budget. Item number one, appoint a budget committee member, and I think Dan was the one that was due, right, Dan Clayton?
Dan Clayton, yes.
Dan Clayton?
He's consented to go on for another term.
Okay. Any review or discussion on Dan? I'm looking for a motion to approve or appoint Dan to the budget committee member for another 4-year term? 3-year term?
Make a motion.
How about a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
New business. Item number one, review policy and stipend program. Everybody had a chance to review that, and is there any discussion?
So our stipend policy only talked about the main changes we did were on page 3 on ambulance transports. We only talked about when they staffed the ambulance in town and did something, and we've got a couple of volunteers who are doing out-of-town transfers that make the district a significant amount of money, and they are out of town for anywhere from 3 to 5 hours, and giving them $25 to do that would be not a fair thing to do. It also would not encourage them to want to do that, so we would have to take paid staff out and then bring staff in on overtime to cover that if we could. So rather than doing this hourly, which would look at them as an employee, we did it based on mileage. And so that's what I came up with for interfacility transfers, which is on page 3 in red.
Further discussion on that? Yeah, looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
I need a second.
Second.
And a roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Item number 2, resolution number 2025-03, the transfer of funds. Has everybody had a chance to review that? Read it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any other further discussion? Okay. Looking for a motion to approve resolution number 2025-03.
I'll make that motion. I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
So we will be reimbursed that money from state of California, but it, they have up to 2 years to pay. They said not to expect to see that for 9 months, so that would be in next budget year.
Okay. Thank you. Item number three, review policy 1.5. Investments in safeguarding public funds.
So as we sent a copy of this to the auditors, Kathy did a quick look at it, and on page two there, on number three, she noted that we didn't have this updated to recognize our electronic bill pay system. And so I threw some verbiage at it, she looked at it, changed a few words around, and that's what we came up with to meet what our current practices are.
Any discussion on that? Yeah, I'm looking for a motion to approve.
Make the motion.
And a second.
Second.
And roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Moving down to the local union 5169 report.
No report.
Okay.
From them.
Committee staff reports.
Start with the just the fire marshal's report.
Thank you.
Okay.
I don't have anything to add.
Okay.
Which C is there unless you guys have any questions?
The house fire?
Yes.
Was that the batteries? That one or not?
Potentially. I'm waiting to talk to the private investigator a little bit more.
Yeah, I went down and I wouldn't say helped him, I talked to him. So it was Ron Smith, the same investigator. He was Depot Bay's fire chief, the same investigator that did our ladder truck. He called me up, said he was coming down. He's leaning in towards the batteries. The guys, they had an electric lawnmower. They bought what was a Ryobi lawnmower. Mm-hmm. And they bought just some off-the-shelf
batteries
that say, hey, this will work in your thing. They didn't buy the specific batteries for. He said, so basically you burned your house down for $29.99. You didn't spend the $50 for the batteries that are made for that machine. Yep, that's what happened.
Did the house burn or was it just the shed?
No, it was the house.
It was the house.
Everything.
Yep,
okay.
The house has significant damage inside of it. He did want me to pass on to the crews, complimented them on the fact that he saw what the exposure was on the north side there with that three-story apartment complex. He saw the damage that was done, how close it was. He says, your guys did an outstanding job of not letting that fire spread beyond where it was. And that was their first objective when they got there, was to contain that. So
it melted the power main.
Yeah, we would have had $1 million loss had it got to that.
Yeah.
So
again, that's that south station. So that's that south station being there, being staffed, that would have turned from a single, the whole house is gone.
Yeah.
So it's probably a, $250,000, $300,000 loss, would have been a multi-million dollar loss had that fire auto extended and got into that other one.
You have 5 more minutes?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So got hot over
it. Yes, it did.
And way hot.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I agree, they did an outstanding job.
Yep. So they took care of it. And then we looked at, if I was the property owner, I would build another one of those things right on that lot where it was, because those things are, four units in each one? There's two above, two below. Just buy the lot and build another one right there. That's what it's primed for.
And they're putting in more of them.
Yeah. On the other side of the road?
Yeah, on the other side. So.
And those are sprinklered, but it doesn't help when the fire starts on the outside of the building and burns
correct.
In. It's not going to save that place. So that was the information I had from Mr. Smith. He wanted me to pass that on. So.
Thank you for that.
2 hour delay for the schools.
Was it 2 hours now? Okay.
All right. Mr. Breckbeck, what do you got for us, buddy?
You see my report there, January training hours 496. You can see the two training assignments. Our crew performance standard was 90 seconds for structure fire response. We've been kind of focusing in on making sure that the tires are rolling within 90 seconds. And so we've been working on that. Monday night drills completed. You can see those there. Communications and radios went very well, taught by Hunter Periani. And then we had building construction taught by Captain DeJagger And then you just see at the bottom there, Chief Height and I have been very busy with regards to gathering information for this potential ladder truck purchase. And you can see all the dates that we were tied up doing that, including a trip down to Medford that didn't quite pan out like we wanted it to, but it was.
You still got eyes on it, so.
That's right. So.
We appreciate you guys doing that very much.
That's all I have this month.
So I'd like to say that I went to drill on Monday night and was very impressed with the exercise that they did. They had built like a dollhouse, they called it, and they had areas that they could open up that would put in more oxygen and what happens and the difference with the smoke and everything. I think it was a great learning experience. And the two that did an excellent job.
Yep.
It was freezing, but it was really informative, and they would like snacks next time.
That's why she brought us snacks.
You get more people there.
It's called rehab.
We heard we should have a cater, is what I heard down there.
They wanted marshmallows.
Yeah, I'll talk more about fire behavior on next month's report, but it was a fantastic drill. And we're going to have another one coming up in October. That's going to be a drill that we do two times a year, I think, just because it's such a good drill. So, be warm.
All right, Chief's report.
The snacks are from Mr. Ron Woodard. He brought a whole bags and stuff. He wanted each one of you to remember him by bringing candy.
Is he interested in coming back to the board?
No, I specifically asked him that. I was going to give him the SLA form, and he told me to pack sand.
He ran out of the building as fast as he could.
Did Kathy call you yet?
No.
Okay.
How's he doing?
He's doing really well. Doing really well. He's spreading diabetes everywhere he goes. So.
Always has.
Yep. So my report, you can see we had 12 ambulance transports in January. I believe that three of those were out-of-town transfers. And volunteers took at least one of those, and we had some emergency ones. Tactical Billing's doing a pretty decent job of getting stuff brought in for us as far as money-wise. You can see notable monies that were received with the ambulance collection, short-term rental inspections, plan review fees. So building equipment maintenance, Bob's been doing some interior painting work. He was up there, I talked to him today, he was up at Sluts River, making sure that generator was working and functioning properly, because we expect the ice is gonna probably at least make it that far in there. And on this evening's phone call with emergency management, the Consumer Power said they were doubling the number of people out there tonight, so we're going from one to two to cover their area, is probably what we thought. But they're always at the end of the line out there, and they're the last ones that end up getting power when it needs to. So he's working on that. So the rear brakes on the older Pierce, so it says engine 14, were repaired. There still seems to be a ABS light that they're working on. We're waiting for somebody's computer at the county to get fixed so they could actually diagnose it, but they tested everything and said it was working fine. One of the Humvees had braking issues. Kenny Banner had ordered some parts for the brakes. They'd sat there for the time Kenny was gone. Now it's time to put them on. They were the wrong parts. So the stuff was there, but the rotors were wrong. So Professional Tire is working on finding the right rotors and getting that vehicle, and it's still currently out of service.
Yes.
So one of our Humvees, having the jet skis, is out of service until we get those brakes fixed.
Parts should be here next week. That's what I was told
tonight. Moving on to annexations, so kind of the same thing, the first couple lines there. I did send everything to Road's End, and actually the Department of Revenue stopped sending rejections back. Our attorney is now involved, and they're going to the DOJ attorney that's representing the Department of Revenue to say, hey, look, you guys have to follow what the ORS says, and this is what it says, and you need to interpret it properly. We really need to get these moved forward, because the deadline for it being on next year's tax rolls is March 31st. So we need to get these things so we can start collecting that money. I asked him, should I stop sending? He says, no, keep flooding them with the rest of them. Get the ones up Highway 229 sent in, get all those done, and we'll let the Department of Revenue make their case as to why that they're not following what the ORS says. So that's still moving forward. Alarm responses there, you can see end of the year stuff. Well, I guess we had end of the year last year, but currently this year, we're 10% down over where we were January of the year before. But remember, January of the year before, we did have that ice storm that brought in a whole bunch of calls for just a short period of time. We'll get that now, but it'll be February.
Come on.
So the calls by type are on that sheet in the back. Financial auditors, they requested additional information being sent, and Kathy and I sent them a bunch more of our policies for them to do. Conflagration stuff. So we participated in going to California with the EMAC. At first, we sent just engine 12 with four personnel with the Lincoln County strike team. They left. A day and a half later, they called and said, we want to send water tenders. And so that's when we put, so she first called me and she says, I just need one of your water tenders, because Tom Jackson had left. He was the strike team leader for the engine crew that went down. She calls me back Saturday and says, we're going to send water tenders, because you all saw in the news, fire hydrants didn't work. Everybody flipped out, fire hydrants aren't working. So we're going to bring our own water. I said, all right, one water tender. I called Chief Mason down in Central Coast, said, hey, can your water tender go? He's like, yep, absolutely, we'll get it squared away. She calls me 20 minutes later and says, now I need four of your water tenders and your strike team leader.
Whoa.
So it ended up that I was a strike team leader. We were able to only get three water tenders, and then the other two were from, one was from Heppner, and the other one was from Hermiston. And so they came to Salem. We tried to get out of town here. The water tender that Jamie Mason was going to send, the starter went out. It was a brand new water tender, just like the one we had, less than 2,000 miles on it. So we took off with four. We made it, takes a two-day trip to get to California. We got down there, and then Celetz's water tender didn't pass the inspection that you go through with Cal Fire. And it actually got pulled offline and eventually got sent home. Because just some mechanical stuff that it just wouldn't pass. There was a lot of rumors going around when these guys went down there that they had to go to Davis, California to the Cal Fire spot, and that they were not being allowed through because of California emissions. That was a lie. They were going through, they were getting basic safety checks, looking for oil leaks, looking for tires, looking for those types of things. They could care less about the emissions problem. So the good thing about it is Oregon had 15 engine strike teams on the road to California in 11 hours. And that's outstanding to get that many. Each strike team had five engines and had a supervisor, a task force leader. So you had that many people and that much equipment on the road to California within 11 hours. And it, you know, two-day trip down there. So that was the good thing that happened out of Oregon. When we went down there with our water tenders, I saw a lot of devastation and we didn't do anything. We were there for kind of a dog and pony show, because again, if we went someplace and the hydrant didn't work, we brought our own water.
Did you at least leave your water there? Or?
No, we went down there with no water. And we filled up with water in Beaumont, California. So we went all the way from here to Beaumont, which was on the other side as you're turning kind of left to head towards Palm Springs. And so we were there for a day and a half. That's where we went through our inspection process. Everybody else got held up in Davis, which is up near Sacramento. So we did our inspection process. That's when they pulled Celetz's tender offline. We spent the night there. The next morning, I took Celetz's tender into a shop in towards Los Angeles someplace, dropped them off there, and then they sent the rest of us to Pacific Palisades. And so that was the expensive area where everything burned. We spent the next week and a half there. Our nighttime was in Santa Monica, had the third floor of an office building, third floor and half of the second floor. It was under renovation, but we were kind of an off thing, so they had 10 of those engine strike teams that were there on one day. You worked 24-hour shifts. They came back. The next day, we were out. And then when we came back, they were all gone, and there were seven of us there versus 130 people there. So it was kind of nice. It kind of actually restored your faith in humanity as far as how the people of California treated us. They bent over backwards to give us everything that we needed. We didn't have to pay for a thing. Sam Hockett, who was just here, will tell you they went out to a restaurant for dinner and they're ready to pay, and the waitress comes up and she says, no. He says, no, we got to pay you. And she says, It's, this is being taken care of by the restaurant. And if we don't do it, there's three other tables of people that are sitting here that said they're paying for your food. You guys are not paying a dime here. And, I mean, we had laundry taken care of, we had anything we needed was taken care of. There was legions of people down there. You know, you look at Echo Mountain, and we lost $25 million worth of property and about 300 homes. They lost over 3,000 homes, and they're at $250 billion in property loss right now. So it was really amazing to see all that kind of stuff. The thing that we're dealing with, so we put together, and I put in my report there, that we're gonna have that much money come back from California, so $276,000, almost $277,000 will be reimbursed. It's going to take at a minimum of 9 months, so it will come in on next budget year, so I'll reflect that in my next budget year's income already. Last year I put $1,000 for Conflag in, this year I'll start with that number. So we'll have that. So, and I kind of ran this number. So just my vehicle for this last conflagration year, we billed out and we'll receive over $35,000 just for that pickup truck that we bought. So kind of paying off that we have nice vehicles that go down there. They're not breaking down. I can tell you that Garibaldi's engine, they had a fuel issue down there. One of the fuel trucks pumped it full of diesel and water. They ended up leaving it down there and flying home, and then just last week flew back on Tuesday to pick it up and drive it home because of the contaminants that were in the fuel and one of the vendors that were down there. They had several vehicles break down, and not just like Garibaldi Center. We're talking two TVF&R engines, one Portland Fire engine. These all broke down because of issues that were going on down there. And there was the DEF. Apparently the DEF that they put in there was garbage and was ruining things too. So I don't know what was, it was just kind of interesting. So that was our trip to California. Again, we should expect reimbursement within 9 months. I've already submitted it, put our packets together. Personnel stuff, so we have 6 volunteers still in their first year of training. A couple of them are water rescue only. We have 19 active firefighters. We had one who dropped out due to inactivity, and one moved from a firefighter role back into just a chaplain role. He's not an active firefighter. And we're gonna lose another one here in the next week or two. Maddie Longworth is moving to Vancouver, Washington to go to school. So Maddie's gonna be gone. We have one pending volunteer application. We'll talk about the ladder truck in a minute here, but basically we're trying to finalize the insurance claim. We put the final stuff in for that. ISO review, so I spoke directly with Mr. Highland, who did our review, and expressed my frustration over not moving from a 3 to a 2, especially since we're spending a significant amount of money on personnel costs. He understood my frustration, so we've set up a meeting between him and his boss, and President Beatty and I will be there, and probably Eric and Dave, and we'll talk to them coming up on May 14th, which just happens to be the morning. And then that afternoon is our board meeting on that same day. So that's what's going on with that. Under information, so the city still hasn't gotten back to us to who owns the beach on Southwest 51st. They're still struggling.
It's that hard to figure out.
They're struggling a little bit.
Most of them are working from home. Yep. If they show up.
We applied for assistance to firefighter grant for turnouts for $103,000 to help boost that up. We did get our matching 50-50 disaster preparedness grant from the county. We applied for it. We didn't receive it yet. Fueling station in Otis has not had any recent issues. All the repairs have been made. Law enforcement has the pictures of the guy that was wandering around. They went out there when you texted me that picture and couldn't find that guy.
Yeah, he searched. I might have kind of scared him.
You might have scared him by taking his picture?
No.
So they're still looking for it, but nobody's been back there. We've upgraded a little bit of the camera system out there, and I think Bob was going to upgrade the light, but he hasn't put that in yet. Make sure everybody knows the awards banquet March 1st, and if you haven't RSVP'd, Krista's right here to take your RSVP information. Amanda Hankins is working very hard on putting this together like she did last year. She's gone out to a lot of people in the community or businesses and gotten door prizes for us. And the Volunteer Association stepped up with $3,000 for door prizes this year also. And so she and Krista have been spending money on Amazon like crazy. So special districts grant, the cameras were installed. And so you can get a better wide angle view of the, especially down at Station 16, of all that fenced in area. I'll also tell you down at Station 16 that the bird's nest on top of the siren will be coming down this month, apparently in February. ODFW says you can knock them down. So Bob is making a point of knocking that thing down. Also, the city is putting up new sirens. And so they're gonna replace that siren up there anyway. So they want that nest down, so when the sirens come in, they can replace that siren. They're doing, I believe they're replacing all four sirens.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, D River, Rhodes End, the siren at Taft, and the one down in Cutler City. So that's on, that's on their agenda to get fixed up. Chief Bickerdike put together a policy use on our training tower down there, just because we've kind of had some issues with getting it cleaned up. And then other people want to come in and use our tower. And so we wanted to put together a policy for that. We have the Lincoln County Tactical, what's their official
name? It's their SWAT team.
Their SWAT team, basically. Yeah. They're going to be here this weekend?
The 16th.
16th.
Yes.
So we put together a policy that talks about what they have to do to use it, and they sign a hold harmless agreement that includes $1 million policy that indemnifies us if something bad happens. You know, one of their guys falls and gets hurt, they want to blame it on our equipment, sorry. So we've got that in place, and they've already filled out that indemnification and brought it to us. Working on the 25-26 budget, just the other couple things I wanted to add on here. So when we're down there, Morris Excavation, have you been taking a good eye on what he's doing?
Yes.
He's got a lot of stuff. They're running a lot of equipment through there. Because of the weather, they're getting fairly close to being done on our side, although they still have a lot of school district work to be done. There's piles of fill that he's going to go be putting back in there.
Yeah, it's looking really good.
Yeah,
looks like they were dumping a lot of garbage in there, like old concrete.
Oh, yeah. Anything that's fill.
Do we want that in there?
Yeah, I mean, that's good base.
Are you ever going to build someday there?
I don't think you'll ever be able to build there.
Yep.
And what we considered native.
And a lot of that is in the school district's property too, to be honest with you. If you go from kind of where that sandbag station is and you go shoot diagonally, that's the property line. Those holes he's putting all that garbage in, that's a lot of it's on school district property. So I don't think I'd be that concerned.
They're about done though.
Yeah, he's getting close. I know we've given him a year extension on it. So coming up here in May, that's another year extension, but as Tim said, as long as he's working on it, still stuff going, I don't think we have an issue.
Yeah, as long as he sticks to his end of the bargain.
Does what he says.
He's got a lot out of it. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're not paying him, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. He's leveling it out.
That was part of the deal.
The other thing coming up here, so the district every March, last March and this March, we'll be cutting out another community newsletter out to all the residences, not to businesses, but we send it to residences. Cody and I have sat down and discussed the things that are going to be in that. If any of the board members would like to have something included in that, I'm sure we can find you a little space, a little corner, maybe have your picture. So that's going to come out in March. It just identifies our calendar, different things we've done, accomplishments, stuff like that, to kind of toot our horn a little bit. Because next March, when that newsletter come out, it's going to talk about renewing our levy. Because next March will be coming right before that May ballot to renew our levy. So we didn't want to just show something when, hey, here's our hat in our hand, we want something. We want to show you what we're doing every year so that when our hat is in our hand, that they can see that what we've been doing, that kind of stuff. So let's talk about the ladder truck a little bit here. So we're having a meeting tomorrow with Pierce, and they're going to come and show us what they've put together as the dealer allocated unit for us. And that's all fine and dandy, but we have to follow the Oregon procurement guide for purchasing. And because it's a $2 million piece of equipment, we just don't get to sign a line and say buy. So we have to go through the process. So I've been in touch with local government law group, to Kerry Conley, who's helped us out with our previous purchases, when we bought the three fire trucks, when we did all the remodeling to the station and things like that. We're part of the League of Oregon Cities buying group. So they had on their paperwork being part of Sourcewell. We're not part of Sourcewell. If we're gonna do this cooperative purchasing, which says that we can purchase this through them and not have to go through this big request for proposal process of sending it out and waiting and all that kind of stuff, if we buy on a cooperative purchasing agreement, then we can do that, but they have to have the right one that we're part of. We're part of League of Oregon Cities, not Sourcewell. So they've got to change that, and we have to make sure that that vehicle is in that cooperative purchasing agreement, and so that it has to be listed under that. So those are the things we're going to talk about tomorrow with Pierce when he comes here, and we're going to finalize out some numbers and look at things. And even then, when we say, yep, this is what we want, it still needs to come back to here, and there's three different payment options, right? There's a, hey, pay it all up front, give us your $2 million right now, and we got a discount of about $100,000.
It's about $100,000 of total discounts,
yep,
for that, yeah. The proposal price, I've got it right here, is $2,110,000. The prepay with all the associated discounts, so it's not just a prepaid discount, it's also a chassis progress and an aerial progress discount. It comes up to about $100,000, so it's $2,006,000 for if we wanted to prepay up front. However, Chief Donald was crunching some numbers, mm-hmm, and...
So our money right now on LGIP is making 4.7%, right? So we give them that money. Are we making 4.7%, or are they making that kind of money? So we need to look at that. We also need to look at what motivates them to get this done, right? If we pay for it up front, they got the money. Mm-hmm. We'll get it done when we get it done. It says the contract, you have to have it done 18 months. Well, all right, 18 months, we'll get it done. If we're paying them progressively, not all up front, they'll say, God, we put out a bunch of money for this chassis. Let's kind of push this one forward and get it done a little bit. That's our thinking involved in that. We're going to talk to Brock tomorrow, and...
Do you think he's going to make it here with the weather?
Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Right now,
he's scheduled for tomorrow.
I'm not even sure if Cody and Chris are going to make it tomorrow, right? So,
I'm already on plan B, C,
yeah.
So...
We'll have those discussions with him tomorrow. We got to be on the right purchasing agreement. We have to follow the rules. Once we decide we're going to purchase something, we have to publish it in the newspaper. We have to have an affidavit of publishing that we have done, you know, the interstate procurement process with them, all that kind of stuff. That's before we write a check for anything. Next month, I would expect that we're going to come back to you with our plan for this is what we want to purchase, this is how we think we should do it, and then we'll go through the budget process here and lay out the options, and then you guys get to decide, hey, are we going to take this money out of our savings account and pay for it all at once, or are we going to just do partial, and then next budget year we can already have that money budgeted in to take care of that. So those are decisions for next month. But it's not a quick sign, one and done thing. We have quite a bit to do. Because it's a $2 million purchase. You know, if it gets over $250,000, we have to follow the procurement stuff that we're doing. So that's where we are with the ladder truck. Any questions about that and how we're moving forward?
No, but I would say I wouldn't pay for it up front, because if something, we get it and there's something wrong or there's something that's going to happen to it, you still have some leeway there. And
there is.
The progressive payment is really... That's where we're money ahead.
Yeah.
So that's. I don't think that prepayment goal is even something to consider.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the questions we do have is there's a clause in there about that if there's a price increase.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So even though we sign for it now, if we pay for it all up front, all right, we paid for it, bring it to us. If we do a progressive payment and let's say there's a price increase, they can pass that on to us.
I thought once you signed, that was the price.
No.
There's a clause
in there that says.
Yeah, good thing.
Yeah.
It's not like buying a loaf of bread in the store, unfortunately.
Yeah. So We're gonna get those questions ironed out in the next few weeks, so when we come back there, we'll be well informed to let you guys know what's going on.
And ask for the family discount.
The friends and family focus.
What did we get out of the insurance company for?
$340,000 rounded up, $340,000, and then another $58,000 for the equipment that was inside the truck. We haven't gotten that money yet, although they paid for the SCBAs that came. They're paying for the radios directly. We still have about another $20,000 to come from them. I've sent that final stuff off to SDIS to say, hey, we've gotten everything, we've paid for it, we've received it, and they haven't gotten back to me, so.
As far as timeline goes, he's given me verbal assurances that we have first right of refusal for this dealer allocated stock truck that is available in June. So he says that he's a purchasing agreement signed in order for us to officially have it, but he said that verbally, he says we have first right of refusal on the truck.
Okay, so.
Using the old salesman tactic.
Correct. Correct.
And then the last thing we talk about is vacancies. You want to talk about that?
About what?
Vacancies. We got an election coming up. I got two board members here that are.
We already did
only
that.
One.
You already did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we already talked about it. Dan's already filling out his, and Jamie said that he's not going to rerun.
I was going to give you the $10 to redo it. So it's already filled out.
I told him I'd fill it out more.
I think I heard Kathy Joy had an interest in that.
No, he asked me to.
Kathy Joy and Alan Lee. I talked to Mr. Lee.
Is he thinking about coming back?
Well, didn't you see him in the doctor's office?
Yeah.
He's like, you want me back? I'm like, yeah. He goes, all right.
Okay.
He
okay.
seemed pretty happy about it.
I talked to him
a
while back.
Around a lot, we'll see.
I know. I doubt it.
So if he's, you know.
If he's serious, then.
I think he's serious.
Good.
That'd be nice.
It's got to be good for him. He's got more time on his hands now. He's not working.
But he goes away a lot.
Yeah.
For a long time, too.
He's getting ready to go to Arizona.
It's not a week thing.
He can be virtual.
Yeah,
you know.
He was before.
Yeah.
So we'll get a hold of Mr. Lee, and, you know, you two guys get first right refusal, obviously. You got the paperwork to fill out. I'll loan you the $10. It's pretty easy.
Jamie, come on.
Sorry. With interest, though.
Yeah.
You're going to miss us.
So I'll be around. Our May board meeting will be his last.
How long have you been on the board, Jamie?
June.
It'll be his last, yeah.
Okay. It'll be his last. And then he reverts to a budget committee
member.
How
long have you been on the board?
10 years.
Okay.
So you guys keep on at the same time?
No, I came on before, so
okay.
Might be a little longer than that.
Then you want to be on the budget committee then after that? Is that
sure.
Okay. See, look at that.
Nice.
Kathy Joy steps out.
One time a year.
Yeah. A fireman to board the budget committee. I'm not sure
why.
Unless she can do
that.
Civil service.
Civil service. Civil service.
Okay. Anything good to the order?
I got something. So I spoke with the ethics committee about the training that is required for board members. At this point, we've decided on the end of August, beginning of September. I told her when we're closer to that date, I'll let her know. We'll have some new board, possibly having new board members coming on, so we have some vacancies to get that training done. So we're in their radar and we're trying. So I think we'll be okay. And then once we have our new board after the elections, then we'll get that scheduled.
She got the information on best practices. Would you tell them about
yeah,
that?
So I also was at the SDAO annual conference last week. I got the information on best practices this year to save our 10%, and board members are relieved of any training this year. It all falls on managers, supervisors. They're asking for a sample of our Pay Leave Oregon policy that's been up to date, which it is. So it's pretty basic this year for the best practice. So I don't see any reason why we're not going to be able to get our 10%. Kind of send out training already to some of the captains and supervisors. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else?
So the guys that came back, two of them went to California.
Thank you, guys.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for allowing us to go.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, did we take the the state's tender down there.
We did. Yep. So we don't get the $80 an hour, we get the $40 an hour. They collect the other half. They get their half.
That's all right, that's all right.
Kick out the check-ins.
Call for any public comment on non-agenda items. Don't see anybody online there.
No.
I'm on twice.
You guys have any comments? We do not.
Okay.
All right, looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
How about a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholtz.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yep.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jamie Wright.
Yes.